It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Felger and Mass.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah?
So sporty.
Oh, yeah?
Sports and sports and sports.
Oh, yeah?
Sports in your face.
Oh, yeah?
Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah? 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome into the program. It's a Felger and Maserati coming to you on a re-entry Monday. Hope you all had a good weekend. I'm coming to you on location, parts unknown, as happens from time to time. Tony Maserati and Matt McCarthy back in our Town Fair Tire Studios. How you doing, Maz?
Good. I see a lot of green behind you. A lot of green, like leafy stuff.
Yeah, we're sitting on my patio somewhere.
Oh, there you go.
Parts unknown. McCarthy in for Murray today.
Hi,
Matt. How are you?
I thought we didn't do pleasantries.
I know.
I learned that last week.
You cut in there. Guys, I think we got three big stories. And we're just going to bounce around all day. It's a re-entry Monday. I think there's three things to get to, and we'll give you some opening thoughts like we would on a Friday. And then we'll get to you. Jimmy, I logged into the call screen already. If you want to release it, you can. It's 617-779-0985. We got David Price last night. We got LeBron NBA. We got Tavares and Bruins. Those are the three things. I think we go between the three all day. Opening thoughts on each. Maz, you want to take David Price?
Sure, absolutely. I will go first, and I'll tell you what. I'm tired of beating up on Price. Okay, and when I say tired of it, that doesn't mean I'm going to stop. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to keep it to just facts. Okay? I'm going to keep it to just facts. I'm not going to make fun of his dog. I'm not going to make fun of his voice. I'm not going to make fun of the fact that he's soft or any
it's
of that.
Too bad.
Okay, so let me just give you some facts. Entering last night, David Price was 7-1 with a 2.74 ERA over 9 starts, and the team was 8-1. Then he goes out against the Yankees, and they go 9-for-19 against him, which is a 4.74 average with 5 home runs in 3 1/3 innings. Huh? How do you explain that? How do you explain a guy throwing the ball as well as he has all year long, and then he goes into New York and can't get anybody out? It's odd, isn't it? In his career at Yankee Stadium, David Price, as a member of the Red Sox, 5 starts, 5 losses, 25 innings, 47 hits. 25 innings, 47 hits, 10 home runs, a 10.44 ERA. As I like to say sometimes, holy crap. Okay? Fact number 3. Earlier this year, Price missed a start against the Yankees because his hand couldn't deal with the cold weather. Then he missed a start against the Yankees because of carpal tunnel syndrome last month when temperatures were in the mid-60s. Now, last night, at game time, it was 92 degrees. So, cold, medium, hot. He's had his ass kicked in New York. Oh, by the way, did I mention John Lester in his career at Yankee Stadium? 10-3 with a 3.29 ERA. John Lester, who the Red Sox let go for David Price. I just thought I'd bring that up. Finally, the Red Sox now, in their last 20 games at New York, 6-14, including 2-4 this season. Did you hear me correctly on that? 6-14. That is a 300 winning percentage in the last 20 games at New York.
Can you give me a conclusion of all that?
Yes. David Price in New York craps his pants. That's what I'm telling you. Anytime you put him in that ballpark, It is the closest environment you are going to get to a playoff atmosphere, and the guy can't handle it. And if he can't handle New York in the regular season, how's he going to handle it in October? So now, to go down another road just quickly, if I'm the Red Sox come postseason, I stick this guy in the bullpen. I don't know that they do it. They probably won't. But that thing last night was a train wreck.
You put him in the bullpen against everybody or
yep.
just against the Yanks?
Against everybody.
Because you just don't trust him, period.
I don't. How could you? This is June, July, you know, July 1st in New York, a game to decide a series. And I'll tell you what I think maybe the worst part of the whole game was. He gave up four runs in the first inning. Then he gave up a couple of more. And Cora left him in the game. Cora left him in the game basically saying, okay, we're going to lose. It's over. The game's over. We're going against Severino's having the best year of any pitcher in the game. And so Cora said, all I need this guy to do now is get me five innings, maybe six, just save a couple of the arms in the bullpen, because now we got to go into Washington and play the Nationals. So he just wanted Price to take the bullet. That's all he wanted. And you know what? Price couldn't even do that. He couldn't take the bullet. Unbelievable what happened in New York last night.
Okay, there's your Price item. Matt McCarthy, you want to give us the LeBron item?
Yeah, so with LeBron now going west, I would say that you have no excuses, Celtics fan. I mean, unless a meteor hits the Boston area and kills us all, like in a fiery inferno.
It's possible.
It is possible, Mike. I mean, science says it is possible. The Celtics should go to the NBA Finals. Like, and even if the meteor hits, they should still go to the NBA Finals. I don't care if Kawhi is going to Philadelphia. I don't care who ends up in Philadelphia. The Celtics will clearly be the best team in the East. So the pressure's on now, right? I mean, the pressure is on. They need to go to the Finals. They must go to the Finals this year for a number of years to come, too. This is the new expectation for the Celtics. Let's see how they handle it. You know, they've been the little train that could, right, for the last few years. Let's see how they handle being the big dog, and all I can say is they better handle it well.
Maz and McCarthy, answer this both. Is LeBron going to the Lakers good for the Celtics and good for the NBA?
It is, yes. Yep. Yep, good for both.
It is.
I agree.
Absolutely, yep.
100% good for both. Good for the Celtics that he's out of the East. Good for the NBA that the Lakers are back and being relevant again.
No question about it. What are they going to do there, Maz? What's their next move? Jimmy Stewart. What do you know? What do you hear? I mean, Stevenson is hysterical, right? Like, I think that's a, you know, interesting guy to bring out there. And McGee from Golden State? So what do they have left? What are they going to do?
So I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to fill their cap up with just one-year contracts so that they can go back into free agency next year. Right now, their play is trades. Kawhi Leonard, Jimmy Butler, Damian Lillard, players like that to complement LeBron if they can't get Kawhi. Or if they get Kawhi, they add Kawhi Leonard, Jimmy Butler, Kawhi Leonard, Damian Lillard. That's their play.
I mean, I don't think they're done. I think the Lakers are still going to make a move. I don't know if it'll be Kawhi, but they're going to make another move, and they'll leave themselves open to add him in the future, which is basically what Jimmy's saying.
Okay, so Price last night, LeBron, NBA, I'll take the Bruins. Very interesting weekend, not for the big headline, obviously, and not for Tavares, obviously, because they lose out on Tavares. But I look at two moves and two players coming in here, and not as they relate to those players, but what it means to the roster. I'm talking about Halak in goal, obviously, and more on D. Halak is, well, he's an upgrade from Hudobin, okay? Because Halak is someone who's been a starter in the league. He's a borderline starter in the league. If he went to, I don't know, half dozen of the teams in the league, he'd be a starter, maybe 10. He'd be a starter on the bottom third of the league, maybe. He's that kind of goalie. You've paid him $2.75 million a year, $2.75, which is more than Hudobin got in Dallas. Okay, Hudobin got 2.5 over 2 in Dallas, or 5, you know, is what I'm trying to say, over 2, 2.5 per. Halak got 2.75 per for 2 years from you. 2.75 is not really backup money. It's more like platoon money. It's close. You know, 2.75 for a backup is pricey. That is a pricey backup to the point where you say, you're really not paying him to back up. You're paying him to platoon. And he's one of those guys that when we get into these conversations, Maz, about, you know, would you trade Tuukka Rask? And I always say yes. And, the play there is to go find an average goalie for $3-4 million, and you'll get the same production as Rask, who's been average for the last 3 or 4 years. Pay him half, and you're going to, you know, net out the same sort of production in net, and you'll have $4 million, $3 million to spend on your roster. Halak's the kind of guy we're talking about. Halak is exactly that sort of in-between starter, backup. He, as a starter, he's had some really good runs. He's fallen on his face some of the times, but he's just sort of in that vast middle. And so I just sort of look at that, and I go, huh, if they wanted to move Rask, they'd have a guy. I don't know if I'd feel great about the guy. They'd have to find another guy to platoon him with. But that's a start. Like, that's someone where you would say, they have Halak, they trade Rask. Like, that sort of makes sense to me. Same thing with John Moore, left side D. You know, we've been talking about how you clear the room. How do you evolve the roster as Torey Krug on the block? Well, if John Moore is here, left shot D, he's a top four defenseman. He's 2.75, same number. You've just signed Greslick. Is Krug the odd man out? So, long story short, I don't know how excited I am about Halak. I don't know how excited I am about Moore. But if it means that they might have something for Krug and Rask, and they just got cheaper and didn't lose a ton at those positions, then I'm sort of interested. That's what I look at. Does Halak, especially being here, open the door for them taking offers on Tuukka Rask? Should they, Maz?
Hell yeah, they should. Absolutely. And in fact, you know, I would go so far as to say, get a second guy like Halak. So, you know, the number's 2.75. Let's say they bring back another guy at $3 million, okay? They, you know, save $4 million bucks or $4.5 million or whatever it is on Tuukka. Then you just play the guy who's hot. Look to me like Cassidy could make that call last year on the fly. Maybe that's one of his strengths. So you have two guys who play 40 games and you got to kind of go with the one who's playing better. I'm okay with that. Because I don't think Tuukka's worth the money, and I think they need to invest it in other areas. So, yes, to me, absolutely, they should be looking at moving the goalie. No two ways about it.
Halak, I mean, you've just paid him platoon money. That's not backup money. I mean, it's backup money, but that's expensive. That's too much. Now you're $10 million in at the position between him and Rask? $10 million in net? And you still don't have a great goalie? I love that. So Halak here makes sense if Tuukka's gone. More makes sense here if Krug is gone. So they struck out on Tavares. There's some interesting trade guys out there. The number one guy I'd be looking at right now, Erik Karlsson up in Ottawa. And Torey Krug would be the linchpin. He'd be the, you know, he'd be the centerpiece going up there. Left shot D for left shot D. You could talk those Canucks into Krug's offensive production, not losing much off of Karlsson, et cetera, et cetera. You've got more here now. And just, so that's what I'm thinking. And even though Karlsson, I believe, is a right shot, just, you know, play along. And that's what I'm thinking. There's also Jeff Skinner in Carolina. There's also Artemi Panarin, a couple of really good forwards that are out there said to be available. So, to me, that's what I'm thinking. Halak, Moore, opens the door to move some money. Krug, Rask, and does Don Sweeney now have some flexibility on his hands to go make a trade?
And Mike, just to your point, Halak's career save percentage, 916. Tuukka's 922.
Okay, so what are you really losing? I mean, I'd take Rask over Halak. I'm not telling you that Halak is a better goalie than Rask, but I'll say this. When Halak gets hot, he gets hot. He carried that Canadiens team to the conference finals one year just on his head. And you look at him, he's hot and cold. When he's hot, he will carry you. He will steal games, and he's that kind of guy. When he's on his face, he's on his face. So he's not as consistent as Rask. But that's an interesting guy. Not in and of himself, but what it means for Tuukka Rask. So we're off and running. Bruins and what they did or didn't do over the weekend. LeBron in the NBA and David Price. To your phones, Felger and Maz on a reentry Monday.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, here comes the 2-2 to Judge. Swung on, a high drive to deep center. Bradley going back, away back, on the track, at the wall. She's gone! Into Monument Park. A Judgian blast. And all rise. Here comes the Judge. Case closed. Swung on and hit in the air to right and deep. Betts going back, on the track, at the wall. She's gone! It is Glaber Day, and like a good Glaber, Torres is there. Swung on, hit high in the air to right. Betts back on the track, at the wall, she's gone. Hicks hits one to the sticks. Price is really getting lit up. Swung on and hit in the air to deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Second deck. His first major league hit is a home run against the Red Sox. How do you like that? Higashioka, the home run stroker.
The pitch to Higgs. Swung on and hit in the air to center. Back goes Bradley on the track. He's at the wall. She's gone. Into Monument Park. Hicks hits one to the sticks. Aaron Hicks is his second home run of the game. The Yankees have hit five home runs. They have shelled David Price. And the Yankees take an 8-0 lead.
Price, by the way, is very lucky that this isn't Fenway Park right now, because he wouldn't get out of that place alive.
Oh, that was rough, man. That's as bad as... Could you imagine it being that bad?
Five bombs. Five. Oh. Five. And you know what? I don't want to hear anything about the short porch at Yankee Stadium or any of it. Like, it was one of those nights going in, you said, I don't feel good about this. But, you know, I always leave open the possibility, what if he pitches great? Like, that's in the back of my head. What if he pitches great? What if he, like, there's such an opportunity for him on a night like that, right? There is such an opportunity there. And he gets his face kicked in. 4-0 in the first inning. And again, 6-0 after, what, 2 or 3, I think it was. And then Cora wanted to leave him into the game. He sent him back out there. He was basically just saying, dude, just hang in there. Give me 5 or 6. Let me save a couple arms in the bullpen. Not that Justin Haley or whatever his name is needs to be saved. And Price couldn't even do that. He couldn't even take the bullet. Unbelievable.
All right, so that's Bruins and the NBA. To your phones as promised on a reentry Monday. Cam and Taunton lead us off today. Maz is in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Brighton. I'm in parts unknown. Go ahead, Cam.
Mike, you always say every dog has their day. This guy's never going to have his day. And I've largely defended this guy since he's been here. I liked the signing when it happened because I thought they needed pitching. I just want to know what he and what everybody else were thinking. This guy just is as smooth as a Ken doll down there. He's got just nothing. I've never seen an athlete who has that much talent just shrink in the moment like this. We've seen it so many times now. That was worse than the playoff game in Cleveland. At least he kept them in that game, as Maz just said. They were still within striking distance, despite how bad they got his ass kicked that night. We saw it in Toronto when the duck legs kicking away. Everybody forgets this, too. In Game 162 in 2011, the reason John Moore and Evan Longoria had hit those home runs to bring the Rays back that night was because this guy went out and got his ass kicked. He couldn't handle pitching a big game for Tampa! What is this guy? I've never seen anything like this. This guy's never going to have his day. He's not going to be Ovechkin. He's not going to be Sergio Garcia. He's never going to have his day. Dude, just opt out for your sanity and ours. Please.
He's never going to be John Lackey. He's never going to have that turnaround here, Maz. And you could tell early, man. So our guy, Big Jim Murray, is off today. Matt McCarthy is in. So unfortunately, we can't give you the full David Price. But you could see it early, Maz, couldn't you? Like the first inning. He's laboring and, you know, the jersey and the looking in, like, he hadn't thrown 10 pitches, and I felt like he was out of wind.
I mean, he brings it all on himself, too. That's the thing. Because as you approach the game, he starts, you know, talking out his butt, and all of a sudden, it intensifies the attention on the game. Not that there wasn't going to be there anyway.
A couple of deep breaths, a couple of spits. And we'll have our answer.
I mean, he really was doing that last night.
Oh, God, for a guy that can't handle pressure, he sure does put a lot on himself. Oh, I mean, what really? Just unbelievable to get your ass kicked like that. Shaughnessy wrote this today, and I think it's not hyperbole. It might have been the worst start of his career. Under those conditions, if you think of it in those terms, in that moment, he went out there and had the worst start of his career.
Steve in the car on LeBron, what do you got?
So, you guys think the Lakers are done? I don't.
Hell no. The question is, okay, what can they do this year? Like, that's my question.
That being said, going forward, you're going to need Kawhi Leonard to win a championship with this team the way it's constructed, because you got to take on Durant or LeBron. And LeBron's going to be on a better team than he was on with Cleveland. Otherwise, why would he leave Cleveland? There's going to be a better team there than the one you just barely lost to last year. So you got to have Kawhi. The team, even with Hayward and Kyrie coming back, I don't think it's good enough to win you a championship. I think you need Kawhi.
You're saying the Celtics need Kawhi?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, they do to get by Golden State. They don't, you know, they would beat the Lakers if they got there. The thing about LeBron, the only thing that surprises me, Maz, is not that he went there. Obviously, they were the favorite for a while. Is that it feels like that's a two-year situation. You know,
the length of the contract is what surprised me.
Yeah, four, right?
Yeah, three with an opt-in. So, you know, I mean, and after that third year, he can bail. But, yeah, it was three with an opt-in.
So, but, you know, they don't feel like... I mean, I thought he would go there and they'd have Paul George in place and Kawhi Leonard would be on his way there and he'd just hit the ground running. I didn't think he'd go for a two-year rebuild, which is what it looks like it's going to be there. That's the only thing that surprises me right there. But but the caller's point about Kawhi Leonard, does that make it more imperative that the Celtics get him or less? Or, you know, where does that stand for you, Maz?
Well, look, in the short term, I mean, if they can get him for a good price, of course I would do it. But again, my opinion hasn't changed on the Kawhi Leonard part of it in terms of what I'm giving up to get him, because he's not going to stay here. He's going to L.A. Like, that part's not going to change. So to me, the cost doesn't change. If you can get him for Rozier and some collection of picks, fine. Now, what I'd be concerned about if I were the Celtics is, you know, who are the other suitors and what can they give from the East? So that if Philly is going to offer something to get Kawhi Leonard, does that then thwart you for a year? Does Kawhi Leonard going to Philly potentially change the landscape in the East? And it might. I mean, he's that good.
Pat in Boston has a Bruins thought. Go ahead, Pat.
All right, so I have a theory about the whole John Moore signing and what it means for Torrey Krug and possibly what Don Sweeney could be doing. But if they trade Krug now, if he trades Krug for, say, a first and a third, maybe if he can get it, whatever he can get, and Toronto, they just inked Tavares, but they, William Nylander, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but the big winger up there, the young kid, he is an RFA this year, and I was wondering if the Bruins offer sheet him and put Toronto kind of, you know, turn the screws on Toronto. I know him and Pastrnak, they played over in Europe together, and they're still best buddies now. If they could grab him out of Toronto, that'd be great.
Those RFA offer sheets, Pat, are they're few and far between in the NHL. It just doesn't. And you do it against a division rival, you incur like an arms race, and I don't know, teams are reluctant to do it. They should do it more than they do, but they don't do it. It doesn't feel like that's realistic. Usually what happens is you offer sheet a guy and then you work out a trade. I mean, it happened with Kessel in Toronto, right? So I don't know. I'm not sure about that. But I do look at I don't know how you don't look at Krug with that John Moore signing. And again, is Krug better than John Moore? Yeah. Except I don't know, the full, you know, 80-foot game, I don't know if he is. John Moore, so 20-minute a game guy, he's a top 4 guy, he's bigger, probably better in his own end than Torrey Krug. He's not going to be put up as many offensive points as Krug, but I don't know. So now you got Krug and Gresik who are just the same. Now you got John Moore, another left shot guy, and you got Char. So you got four guys there. You know, what'd you just give Gresik? He gave him over $1 million a year. You pay a guy over $1 million a year to be your seventh defenseman. I don't know. Feels like the Moore thing means that there's flexibility there. And I think that Krug is one of the more marketable players because of that point production mess.
I think Krug's out. That's what I think. I think they're gonna move Krug. And you know, what I keep forgetting with Krug is that he had that ankle injury at the end of the playoffs. So this might be a situation where it doesn't get resolved until camp, preseason. You know, he plays a little bit, teams see him. It's almost like Boychuk was that year. Not that he was coming off an injury, but it could be a late deal. So it may not happen right away, but to me, Krug's out. There's no way they're keeping
something.
Yeah, they're not keeping all those defensemen. No way.
So Eric Karlsson has 1 year left. Okay, when the Norris 2 years ago, that just amazing defenseman up in Ottawa. 1 year left. So he's, you know, he's Kawhi Leonard. He's Paul George. He's like that sort of situation. 1 year left, then he becomes a free agent. Ottawa's having a hard time signing him. They're still trying. The number now we know, because the Drew Doughty contract, is 8 times 11. So 8 years, $88 million. He'll probably have to get more because he comes after. So 8 years, $90 million, call it something like that. If you're the Bruins, what would you trade? Would you trade, Maz here, Krug, DeBrusk, and then they get to pick one more prospect for Eric Karlsson 1 year.
So the guy I would want to move in that deal to is Carlo, because Carlson's a right shot defenseman, and you've already got McAvoy. So if your top two right shot defensemen can be McAvoy, Carlson, I'm in. Like, and you know, so I don't know whether they
Carlson,
would go
McAvoy.
Right, so right for the Bruins. So I don't know whether Ottawa would go for it, but Krug, Carlo, and a pick. Like, are they looking for a forward, high pick? I don't know. I mean, or one of those forwards, Donato? Like, you want to throw him in there? I'd rather keep DeBrusk because I like the size. You want to give Donato or Heinen in that deal? I'm in.
I agree. They want DeBrusk. I'm just making this up, but let's say they just want DeBrusque.
No. DeBrusque is a deal breaker for me. No, yeah. I like him too much. There's too much of a complete game. Speed, size, some skill. He's got good combination of things. I don't want to give up DeBrusque.
Yes. Yes, because you need to invest in defense, particularly with Tavares going to Toronto. Like, you got to stop Tavares and Matthews for the next 7 years. They need to invest in defense. Carlson is the guy. Go get him. Unload the piggy bank for him.
I mean, when you look at the forwards in their division, now with Toronto, I mean, Matthews, Tavares, 1-2 at center. Never mind Nylander and Marner and all those guys in Toronto. Never mind Stamkos, Kucherov. All that stuff that they got going on down in Tampa, I mean, the forwards you play in this division, to McCarthy's point, insane. And also, you know, Toronto, as much as that Tavares signing helps, they still got nothing on D. Nothing. So I'm with McCarthy now. I mean, if you got, and I don't know if they have the money, but if you're in on anyone, I'd get in on Erik Karlsson.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
There is other news, big news, out in Los Angeles, and Zubin Mehenta has a update back in the studios in
Matt,
Bristol.
Thank you. It's breaking news. Judge just hit a home run you described, and apparently, Woj, the Lakers have hit a home run themselves. Tell us about this.
LeBron James, 4 years, $154 million to join the Los Angeles Lakers, a seismic shift in the NBA, and now the Lakers start to try to build a contender in the West that can go at the Golden State Warriors and Houston Rockets.
Complete coverage in moments on ESPN News. What will the Lakers do next? LeBron's in the fold. Matt, back to you.
Zubin, thanks. Big news indeed. Dini Gregorius to right and over Mookie Betts. Stanton to third, and here come the Yankees in the bottom of the first inning tonight.
Pretty much how it went, Maz. Now back to ESPN and David Price getting his teeth kicked in.
and during that stretch, too, all four of those balls, all four of them, from the Judge homer, the Stanton single, the Gregorius double, then the Torres homer, they were all crushed, every one of them. Like, you hear the crack of the bat on the Stanton hit especially. Holy crap, I thought I was going to lose my hearing.
Was that Stanton single, Jimmy?
It may have been enhanced.
Yeah, we enhanced it.
Favorite single ever.
Oh, God, it was absolutely roped. It left burn marks on the grass in the outfield, for crying out loud. It was absolutely scorched, 120 miles an hour. Like, they were fighting at the bat rack to get up there against him last night.
It's the sound of Teddy Ballgame squaring one up right there.
Holy mackerel.
All right, back to your phones. Derek in Foxborough on LeBron. Go ahead, Derek.
Yeah, I think it's good that he is out of the East, but don't you think this move vindicates Kyrie because he saw that LeBron was going to leave and he wasn't going to be stuck in Cleveland with J.R. Smith and all those bums?
Yes, I'll just stop you there. Yeah, Kyrie Irving saw the writing on the wall. He was smart. He got out.
Absolutely. No two ways about it. I mean, he knew what LeBron was and what LeBron was going to do. And by the way, just so I can gloat a little, I told you this 2 years ago.
Wait a minute. He went back to Cleveland, and you said he'll be gone after a year.
I said, no. I said, are you sure he's going to stay? That's it. You said he'll never leave again. That's what you said.
Never.
Yeah, I think you did.
You were talking about him leaving after a year or two. He stayed four, Mass.
Ooh. Let's build a statue for him. He stayed for 4 years. Wow. I told you he'd bail on that city again. I knew he would.
He'd leave after a year.
Yeah, so it took a little longer than I thought. He still left.
Here's a Jeff in New Hampshire on David Price. Hi, Jeff.
Yeah. What do you guys think about convincing David Price to opt into his contract if we trade him to a team he would want to go to, like a St. Louis, say to David, hey, opt in, promise us that you'll stay them. I mean, obviously, you'd probably still have to pay 25-30% of the contract and trade him, but actually try and get something, then having him stay here, be miserable, and then having to get rid of him in 2 years and then pay an additional 3 years or 2 years on that contract.
How do you feel about that, Mass? Getting him to opt in to trade him.
So it's a good strategy. I mean, if you can get a taker for the player. The problem is now that I think his value is down, and not just financially. I think a lot of teams look at him and say, this guy's a puddle. Now, if you can convince St. Louis that it's a change of scenery thing and you stick him in their rotation, he'll be fine. Well, then
he'd be good in the National League.
Yeah,
he'd
look, really it's a good idea. You're still going to have to eat money. And I'd be willing to bet you have to eat a third of it. Like, you're going to have to get him down to Porcello territory. You're going to eat $10 million a year.
Steven in Fall River, give me a Bruins take.
Hey, Felger, I had a question. Do you guys think that they're going to go after Panarin from Columbus? Because
I'm hoping.
After losing out on John Tavares? And if they do make that move like that, is that all they're going to do? Or do you think that they'll continue on after getting him?
Well, I don't think they need to do a ton because I still think they're building through their system and all of that. But if they have the flexibility, they need some upgrades. And if there are players out there, again, Erik Karlsson, Panarin, and Jeff Skinner in Carolina. Those are the three guys I would look at. Panarin and Skinner are wingers. Carlson's the best top three defenseman in the league. He's one of those guys. Skinner and Panarin are borderline all-star kind of guys. 25-30 goal a year guys. Both would help you out immensely. Legit top six forwards would fill out that second line, give you secondary scoring that you need, etc., etc. What I'm hoping is the deals for Halak and John Moore, this defenseman they signed, give them the flexibility to go market Torrey Krug primarily, but maybe Tuukka Rask too, and get something back there and improve that way. And that's what I'm thinking. It's not so much losing out on Tavares, so that's part of it. It's those other signings. They now have flexibility. If you lost Rask, Halak could be a starter. You'd have to bring in someone else who has NHL experience and really platoon it. But they're going to platoon it this year. When you pay Halak 2.75, that's, as I said, that is not backup money. That's platoon money. So you're platooning Rask as it is. So that to me is what I'm hoping that they do, that those moves gave them flexibility to go get someone like that. Panarin, I would take. Skinner, I would take. Carlson, I'd walk backwards to, you know, walk him from Ottawa to Boston. We continue on a reentry Monday. Maz and McCarthy in our Town Fair Tire Studios. I come to you on location. Long commercial-free segment is next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Junta.
Magenta?
Junta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is a big day for the Toronto Maple Leafs, no matter how you slice it, even if you're not a fan of the Leafs. It's like Max said earlier, you're adding a star player, a superstar player in the prime of his career. This is not some 35-year-old. This guy's right in the prime of his career, excited to be here, makes other players better, has no experience with winning because he never had a chance to win, but when he's been with the Canadian teams, he has, and when he's played for his country. I think it's a huge day no matter how you slice it, and it's a free player. I know people say $77 million. That's not free. They got a guy that went first overall without giving up even a seventh-round draft pick. This is a big day for the Leafs, no matter what team you cheer for.
It's Brian Burke on Tavares going to his hometown Toronto Maple Leafs. Maz, you got a thought on the Bruins losing out on Tavares?
Maz stepped out for a second.
So okay, Maz stepped out for a second. Should I do a Maz impression? That's what Jimmy Stewart said. I don't know if I can do a good Maz impression. It sucks, Mike. It sucks.
I'm back, bitches. How can it not be, Mike?
Maz is in our Town Fair Tire Studios. I again am on location. I just asked about Tavares going to Toronto, Maz, and just your thoughts on it. Like, I don't really blame the Bruins. I mean, I need to know what their financial offer was. Tavares got what? 7 times 11? 7 at 77? So if the Bruins were, like, well below that, I'd say, well, what are you doing? You're wasting all of our time. If the money was the same...
I don't know
same,
what you should do, Mike!
if the money was the same, and they pitch him hard on the team in the city, and he wants to go somewhere else, I mean, what are you going to do? You go, I mean, you going to rip the Bruins for that?
I mean, don't you have to believe they had to be in the ballpark? Unless
yes.
Unless they were getting so sort of, you know, they were micromanaging it to the point where they said, well, look, you're going to be paying, you know, X percent of taxes in Toronto. You'll pay less here. So our equivalent is 7 times 10, you know, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. But in any case, they were close. So, look, I feared Toronto. I feared it from the beginning just because, A, the kid's from there, and B, like, that is a young, up-and-coming team. They still have holes, but to me, Toronto was to be feared. And I at least can look at the kid now and say, all right, look, he's embracing a challenge, he's not afraid of it, and he's staying in the East, which tells me that there's makeup there that I like about the kid. All right, so fine, they lost out on Tavares. The good news is it shows me that they're willing to spend some money, and they're clearly planning or trying to angle for something bigger. So when you talk about Erik Karlsson in Ottawa, if they can sign Tavares, they can sign Karlsson. Like, right. they have the capacity to do it. So that's what I'm going to take out of it. I just hope they don't sit there now and say, well, okay, fine, we lost out. Let's just put our, you know, hands in our pockets and we'll make small moves. Because my concern with a lot of the young guys they have is that they're not big enough. And I want to, they get so many of those, you know, Heinen, Donato. It feels to me like some of these guys are interchangeable. Swap a couple out and go get yourself another stud. That's what I want to see them do.
So let's see what they got in the trade market. Let's see. Feels like they have some flexibility, as I keep saying. Let's see if they use it. Let's see if they really boost their roster. If they don't really do anything, if their upgrades are Halak and John Moore, that's not enough. Because they've lost on their bottom six. They lose Riley Nash, who was really good for him on that third line all season long, was excellent. He's gone, and I don't blame him for not re-signing Riley Nash. Like, that's where you run into trouble. If Peter Chiarelli were still here, Riley Nash would be signed, sealed, and delivered for too many years and too much money here. So
$5 million a year.
I mean, you know what I mean? So, like, that's when you run into trouble. What the trick is, and the good teams cycle in the Riley Nashes and replace Riley Nashes with another cheap guy from the street or from their system, and they keep that position and that sort of role cheap. You don't overpay and you don't overspend on that role. If you're good, you find that next guy. So, but either way, they're going to have to find that next guy now from Riley Nash. And Schaller's gone too. So they've gotten a little worse on that bottom six, depending on what they have coming. And so I think Halak is better than Khudobin. Halak is an upgrade from Anton Khudobin. He just is. To the point where, if you moved on from Rask, Halak's one of those guys that I'd sort of be okay with. I'd sort of be okay with it if it were Halak and somebody else. And that's what sort of has me interested. Is Halak meant more, and is he more than just a backup? Is he more than just Anton Hudobin's replacement? We continue with this. Ronnie in the car, go ahead.
Hey, I was just a longtime listener. Just asking a question. We signed Halak, and do you think that they would platoon Khudobin and him for the season and to free up some money from Rask?
So I'm going to let you go because Hudobin's gone. Khudobin signed in Dallas. But just the mere fact, Maz, that they want Tuukka Rask playing only 55 games is aggravating to me, because it's $7 million a year. He's the third or fourth highest paid goalie in the game, and you basically have to have a quasi-platoon with him. Like that in and of itself tells you he's not worth that money.
Well, that should irritate you. And the fact that they have to plan it that way, maybe that's dawned on them now, too. Like, yeah, again, because you're talking about 30 games for this guy, right? For Halak. You're talking about 30 games now, somewhere close to that anyway. And if it's that number, then Rask becomes even less of a value than he already is.
And if
he's playing 65 games, they, you know, or even 70, that's one thing. But if he's playing 55 or 52, that's something totally different.
Well, that's what they want. They want him between 50 and 55. And the thing is, I would trade off the 50 to 55 games in the regular season if Rask was that guy who got into the postseason.
Sure.
And then stood on his head and did cartwheels and won you rounds, and then fine. You know, you would take that trade off. But he's not even that. So I guess this goes back to some Tuukka Rask frustration, but hopefully Halak gives him just a little bit of flexibility. Brian and Methuen on David Price. Yes, go ahead, Brian.
How you guys doing? I was wondering if you don't think that the Dodgers or Milwaukee or like even the Yankees would take David Price. I mean, the guy is totally pathetic. He can't pitch anymore. It's over for him. You know, get rid of the guy.
So he'd be a great National League pitcher. He'd be a great Brewer. I'd love him. We'd go easy on him, Maz. There's no Dan Shaughnessy's or Big Jim Murray's doing voice impressions in Milwaukee. We'd be thrilled to have him and his dogs. So he'd be a great Brewer. They're not going to pay him $31 million a year. That's a problem. Who's going to pay him that kind of money?
Yeah, is Magic Johnson still part of the Dodgers ownership group? Can we find a sucker with the Dodgers? Like, maybe they'd be stupid enough to take that deal again. I like the idea. That, again, but I think you'd have to eat $10 million of it at least. Get him down to $20 million. In this day and age, that's not that much. Rick Porcello makes $20 million, and maybe you can find a taker for the final 4 years. But it all starts with the same thing, which is him pitching well. That thing last night,
oh my God,
what a disaster. I mean, from an athletic standpoint, pitching-wise, that was a freaking disaster.
I'm just the laboring. The first inning, he's laboring and the huffing and the puff. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, the guys are hyperventilating out there. It's the first inning, dude. Settle down. Oh, my God. Not even close. Pat in Worcester with the Celtics thought here on a reentry Monday. Hi, Pat.
Hi, what's up? I just want to know, what do you think the chances are of Marcus Smart returning to the Celtics?
So, Stuart, what do we hear on that? What's the latest on that?
I think with some of the money that you've seen spent, Marcus Smart is going to end up here on the qualifying offer.
So he's not going to get the money he thought.
It doesn't look like it right now. The Pacers used up a lot of money. The Mavs used up pretty much all of their money. I mean, I don't see him going to Sacramento.
So let me ask you this. The qualifying offer is like $6, $7 million, right?
That's correct.
He was talking about making $12, $14, something like this.
That's correct.
So does he come back all pissed off that he's only on a qualifying offer?
If he's got no leverage, probably, but maybe that motivates him to play better. So he can get paid next year.
So, Jimmy, can I throw a hypothetical at you?
Please do.
What if Philly went after him? What could they give him?
I'd have to look at their books, but they just saved, let's see, Reddick signed for 13, so they just saved $10 million off of Reddick's contract, so that's $10 million for Marcus Smart right there.
So, look, I just wonder, like, is that one that if you're Philly, you say, well, you know, that's a double win, right? Celtics lose him, we get him. Like, if I'm Philly, I'd look into that.
That's a good call by you, Maz. Stick him on Kyrie Irving in the playoffs. Like, that would be that makes a lot of sense. It does. Here's Mike in Framingham on Alex Cora, I believe. Go ahead, Michael.
Yes, I'm just wondering why wouldn't Alex Cora pull out Price or Erod before they get to 8-9 runs? It seems like he's Alex Cora is looking at a tape of like Don Zimmer management, where he'd leave the guy in until they ran up a touchdown.
Well, Maz, you made this point a couple times, how Cora wanted Price to stay in that game, and why, in the caller's point.
Okay, so I just think that once you got into the, you know, once you got into the fourth inning, it's already 6-0. First of all, the game was over in the first inning. Okay, you're going against Severino, who's been like the best pitcher in baseball this year, or something close to it. So I think it took Price 17 pitches to give up 4 runs. The game's over. It's over. Whether he gives up 6 or 8 is irrelevant. At that stage, you're basically buried already. Okay, but that aside, he gives up 2 more in the second. So now you're down 6-0 after 2 innings. And Cora wanted him to try to hang into the game until the 5th or 6th at least. That's what he was looking for Price to do, because he says, at a minimum now, I save my bullpen. And Price couldn't even do that. He couldn't get through the 4th inning. What, you know, they had to go to Haley, and not that you know, using him up in the middle of the game is any great sacrifice, but ultimately you end up having to take bullets with guys that you might have to use the next game. What if Porcello gets shelled tonight? Now you're going against Scherzer in Washington. Now you got to tap into a different group, and now you're going to have to make moves going into the middle of the week, because you got day games following night games. You're playing at 11 o'clock on Wednesday. Price screwed him. He screwed him all the way around.
Complete disaster.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.